We are at the moment arrived at the last chapter of the synthesis which we have been studying for over 2 years, if I remember right. The last chapter has for its theme the supramental time sense. We have been discussing how the kind of knowledge that is yielded by the supramental sense differs from the knowledge that the physical senses yield. Here we come to the question of feeling of time, experience of time, timelessness. Does this differ, knowledge or experience of time and timelessness, differ in the supramental consciousness? Does it suddenly differ, or are there steps from our mental feeling and experience to the supramental in this regard? It is a fact that as things stand, the timeless infinite above and around, and the infinite in time, that is what we call time, they are coexistent. We say coexistent because it has been the experience of many spiritual figures, people who have arrived at definite spiritual realizations, that within they can be conscious of the eternal, the timeless. But on the surface, they deal in terms of time. So both are accessible, even in our existing state of things. When our mind tries to experience this timeless infinite, what happens? The mind is unable to keep itself in functioning state, functioning in the normal sense. When it goes beyond a certain level, at most it can reflect the eternal, and that it does in states of concentration like trance, like samadhi. But the experience is always that the eternal infinite is above. The most that the mind can do is to reflect it. When it tries to grasp it, when it tries to reach it, the mind falls, the mind fails. To make it normal, to make the sense and feeling of the eternal normal here, is not possible in the formula of mind. Even if the mind is enlightened, illuminated, as you will see, it is not possible for the eternal to function as a faculty. Though it may reflect itself, it is only in the supramental consciousness that it is natural to have the experience of the timeless infinite and at the same time the infinite in time as a natural state and not as something that is acquired. And this includes what is called the vision of the three times. In Sanskrit it is called Trikala Drishti. In English you would say a simultaneous vision of present, past and future. This naturally can't be achieved in one jump. The mind has to ascend the various levels of consciousness and being, and we start with our ignorant mind, and for our ignorant mind, knowledge is something which is outside. It has to search for it, it has to grope for it and acquire it. But as it ascends, as rays of higher knowledge or light fall upon it, something is awakened, and the mind becomes aware that the true knowledge is within, not without. Outer circumstances, outer occasions for knowledge, they become only occasions for the inner awakening. And that is because the mind at that, in such times, is in tune, if it is not one, with the universal mind. And all knowledge relevant to us, pertaining to this creation, is there embedded in the universal mind. All truths are perceived there, though all are not simultaneously present, because that will cause confusion. Whatever truths we need to know, we want to know, they reveal themselves. The rest are all there. There is an automatic operation by which what is needed comes to the front once one attains to the supramental consciousness. In the ignorant mind, that is mostly the human mind as it is today, the infinite in time, it does not have, the ignorant mind does not have control or possession of the infinite time. At most, it is the time expression of the infinite which it knows, but the infinite content it does not. Because the ignorant mind lives in succession of moments, now, next moment. Things are not stretched out like a map to it as they are to some other mind. Moment to moment it knows. But there is a certain continuity, but that is in the background. Mind as it deals, it is conscient only of what is present before it. The continuity is given by the spirit in the background. And the past is there, projecting itself in the present, in this moment. This moment is not just a moment from a vacuum. This moment has behind it a series of moments which have produced this moment. So the past lives, and if we want, even our ignorant mind can recover what it can, depending upon the strength of its memory. That is all. There is a limit to which the ignorant mind can go back and recover its past up to a certain point. But man is not content to live in the present moment, confined to it. So what he does, he goes on reasoning from cause to effect. When this happens, this must be the cause. Or when this cause is present, this is likely to be the result. So he draws inferences and comes to certain conclusions, formulate certain knowledge. But this is all right as long as you live, or your knowledge is confined to the realm of physical nature, because there things are more or less rigidly organized, and a particular cause normally leads to a particular effect, and a particular effect normally presumes a particular cause. But as you go above or behind the physical level and come in the domain of life and mind, there is a change, an indefinite possible, what Sri Aurobindo calls, that is a number of possibilities come into the picture. So your law from this cause to this effect may not work out. Because between the working of this cause into that effect, any other number of possibilities may intervene, may dilute, may deviate. We do not know. There is much more in the situation beyond the physical laws and the inferences based upon physical data. And even behind this law, life and mind, which you may say, as we develop our knowledge, we may be able to get some idea. But behind that, there is the soul and the spirit behind all, which introduce a totally new element, which cannot be measured, which cannot be defined by the reasoning mind. And it is when these inner doors of our being, inner doors leading or opening on the subliminal or the psychical being, not psychically, psychical or the soul, that a new time sense comes to the front. As the inner doors open, suddenly you become aware that there are three visions possible. One is what Sri Aurobindo calls the retro past vision, the circumconscient vision, and the pre-vision into the future. As long as you want to go back, the vision extends. Around also, not immediately what you see physically before you, but quite outside the physical range of possibility of vision, you see things, and also into the future. But these are likely to be mixed. Our vision, we may see all right, but our interpretation, or even our physical seeing and rendering of the vision in terms of the physical understanding, it is liable to be interfered by many factors. And it is only an intuitive discrimination that can sift things. This is the true vision and this is a mixture. For that, we have to go beyond the highest levels of the mind. We have to go reasoning mind, and we have to cultivate and organize the working of intuition. From our level of the ignorant mind, they have formulated a number of sciences like astrology, palmistry and all these to see what is going to happen in the future. But these also are subject to the same errors as these three visions are subject to when the mind is not purified. There is always a possibility of deviation. It is a fact, Sri Aurobindo says, that number of systems of correspondences between planets and things, between this thing and that thing, they are all there. And that they are there was originally perceived by our subliminal or psychical sense. Afterwards came forward the mind, logical mind, the mind of intelligence, to regularize, to systematize and build up these sciences. To these sciences, he points out, as far as they are organized into branches of learning, they are accurate enough as far as it relates to the past. Even these visions, even these things, see, intimations, as far as the past which has already happened, they are fairly correct. What is happening at present also they may, but when it concerns the future, it is very problematic, because we do not have the faculties to know what are likely to be the possibilities interfering with what looks to be certain. What has passed, there is nothing to be discussed. Present, there is an intelligent anticipation, one can look and see. But regarding the future, we simply do not have. Even these sciences like astrology may give indications, but they can never be positive or binding indications. The true knowledge of the past, the present and the future can be got only when the psychical consciousness and the psychical faculties, for all practical purposes you can say these are the deeper subliminal faculties, when they are awake and the past, the present and the future, they can pass before, they pass before it as images. Now, images are not only visual images. There are what are called even auditory images. And there are other kinds which we can't describe in human language, but only those who experience it know. But there are images and images. Now, Sterindo sounds a warning. This everyone should note. He says, even when this psychical and the subliminal things are there awake and the images come of the past, say, all the images that come need not necessarily be the images of what has taken place. They can also be images of what tried to take place. Images of what somebody wanted to take place at different levels. So they are all mixed up. And when we say it has appeared, it must be true, it is need not to be. Similarly, in the present, there are a number of things going on, struggling for supremacy. All those images may appear. Similarly, in the future, the likely possibilities, all those images may appear. Which one is going to come to succeed, we do not know. For that, at any rate for the past and the present, we must have that psychical discrimination, intuitive discrimination, to say that this fructified, the others tried but failed. So this is the thing which I don't think any other seer has said. Why there is this confusion? Why this possibility of being misled? That all that has gone on is recorded somewhere. A race, 10, 15 horses may run, but one horse only wins. But the whole vision in the etheric atmosphere, the whole thing is stamped. So when we see this horse, that horse, that horse. But we can't say. But an intuitive discrimination, it goes to the truth. That may be, but this has won. So, an ordinary mind can't arrive at that certainty. The certitude can be given only by the intuition. A supramentalized intuition, as you will see later. Because even of intuition, there are grades. There is an intuition that works through the mind. There is an intuition that works through the vital. There is an intuition that works in a mixed mind. There is an intuition which works at the top of the mind but still subject to the pulse of the mind. And above that, there is an intuition which functions on a pure intuitive level. And for a pure intuitive level, outside the range of these lower pulses, that becomes possible only when the supramental light starts functioning on the intuitive plane. The psychical being can, to a great extent, grasp these truths. One does not have to wait till the supramental consciousness or whatever it is is organized. The psychical being is open to missions from the universal. It is not confined to the individual scheme, individual frame, but it spreads out, stretches out into the universal. So, intimations from the universal sail into the psychical being and we get true intimations. Even there, Sri Aurobindo says, there is the possibility of error. Because the psychical consciousness does not live in the indivisible continuity of spirit. It is still involved in manifestation. The continuity behind it doesn't relate itself to that. And even what comes as intimation from the universal being, it is mixed. It partakes of certain obscurities in universal nature. There is the intuitive vision and intuitive discrimination alone can separate the obscured and the unobscured portions of truth as it places itself before the psychical faculty. After all these precautions are taken, when the psychical being or the soul is able to get this knowledge, it is exercised, it is maintained, it is exercised as an abnormal power, as an acquisition, as something which functions when we are at the height of our consciousness. It is not natural. To make it natural, it is possible only when the supramental force, knowledge, organizes itself, and this becomes a natural power. To see into the past, the present and the future, but as I said before, there has to be a progressive intuitivization replacing the ignorant mind. The ignorant mind is made to yield to an enlightened mind. A mind that seeks knowledge from outside has to be replaced by a mind that seeks knowledge inside. Once that is there, the mind is universalized, open to the working of the universal mind. It is only thereafter that it can lay itself open to the working of intuition. Even when the intuitive faculties start function and our mind, purified mind maybe, reflects the intuitive truths, intuitively grasped truths, there are mixtures. And Sri Aurobindo says that these mixtures, for instance, lie first in the stress of will. Each one of us has a certain will. We want this. Our mind, our heart, our vital have particular preferences. We want things to be this way. Now, however consciously we may keep out this element, subconsciously these things enter into the situation and prejudice the inclination of what we perceive. And there are always suggestions not from ourselves, but suggestions in the universal atmosphere. many people think. We may have thought some time back. All these are stored in the universal atmosphere. And these suggestions constantly bang upon our mental walls. So when the intuition reflects itself also, these suggestions act and we understand or interpret without being aware that these suggestions have already got involved in our understanding apparatus. The next point, naturally these interferences, it is a question of long discipline, and the more the higher element enters and displaces the lower, they are slowly eliminated. But one has always to take care. Sri Aurobindo says, however much we may take precautions by way of purification and discrimination, however high we may reach, the ignorant mind has a way of projecting itself in 100 ways and influencing and deforming the intimation or the message from the intuitive level. Then he speaks of the actualities, the possibles and the imperatives. Even when intuition is acting, there are three phases, three visions that the intuition gives. One is the field of actualities. What things are there already? We know what is there before our nose, but what is there around? What was there, what is there presently? The number of actualities present, it gives its certitude. But as it turns to the present and to the future, the possibles intervene. The actuals have to battle with the possibles. Many possibilities are there, out of which only some can actualize. So when it says actuals, it sees the interference or the entry of the possibles. And it may not exactly be able to say that this is that. But it has to go a little beyond. And there is the realm of what are called the imperatives. So that when the intuitivized mind looks at the imperatives, it knows that whatever may be the number of possibles, the imperatives are going to fulfill themselves, because the imperatives in the higher regions are always in tune with the central will. So whatever the number of actuals, whatever the possibles that are trying to actualize themselves, seeing the imperatives, the intuitivized consciousness is able to say this is going to happen. It's a question of time. But even when the intuition at its highest has a grasp of all these three visions, ultimately it has to function and report to the mind. Our mind only has to understand and grasp the message. It is subject to mental conditions and limitations, because our mind, after all, is not in possession of knowledge, but it receives the knowledge from the intuition. The mind is still a receiving instrument. The mind has to be progressively uplifted, as I said, from the ignorant mind, the enlightened mind, the universal mind, and the intuitivized mind. Then the intuitivized mind again has different number of so many powers, like inspiration, like revelation of truths. And then what is called the mind of knowledge. Our mind matures into what is called the mind of knowledge as a result of the progressive action of the supramental consciousness. And when that mind of knowledge is formed, that becomes a bridge between the human mentality and the supramental knowledge, supramental consciousness. And the supramental consciousness organizes itself, radiates through this mind of knowledge. And in this mind of knowledge, there is an eternal consciousness of the timeless vision, the timeless feeling. All the past, the present and the future are spread out, and one can see behind, around and ahead.
So happens that this morning is the 25th of December, and it further so happens that therefore I have